A God Who Questions by Leonard J. DiLorenzo. The Introduction. The Questions He Asks. Jesus is the question. Let me explain. In the Garden of Eden, after the man and the woman betray God and try to displace him as their creator, they become ashamed of their nakedness. They had been transparent to each other and to God, but upon their transgressions, they become self-conscious about their motives, and so they cover up their intimate parts. Then they go hide behind trees. They do not want to be seen for who they are, so they put up defenses, separate from each other, turn their home into a fortress, and shy away from God's view. They are lost to themselves, isolated and afraid. Their Creator will not leave them in this state. He comes to find them, and as He seeks them, He does something really surprising. He asks a question. Even more surprising, it is not a question of accusation like, "What have you done?" or a question of confusion such as, "What's going on here?" Rather, it is a personal question. Where are you? That is the perfect question. They are lost. They are so disoriented and deluded and ashamed that they don't even know where they are, and they have forgotten who they are. God's question invites them to locate themselves by entering into dialogue with the Creator. They do not have to specify where they are. All they have to do is respond. By responding, they are located and found. That is the beginning of salvation history. Jesus is the question of salvation because He is the Word of God who seeks to elicit our response in order to locate us who are lost. He is the love of God who asks, "Where are you?" all the way to the furthest reaches of our existence. The hard part is that encountering Him will stir up all our disorientations, our delusions, our shame, because He finds us in our hiding places. It was not easy for the couple hiding in the garden to respond to their Creator's question, and everything seemingly became harder for them once they emerged. But that's the way a cure works sometimes. A lot of things become more unstable so that you can be restored to health. When Jesus asks questions, that's what's happening. Jesus intends to draw us out into the sacred dialogue, which is life in Him. His presence is the very personal divine question addressed to each of us. Where are you? And to drive that one question home, He asks many different questions that, in one way or another, draw us into a deeper encounter with Him if we dare to really listen and attempt a response. The author states, "In this book, I have dared to take Jesus' questions seriously. One thing I have learned is that His questions are never just what they seem, especially when they seem, as they often do, almost like they are out of place or running on a different plane from what is going on. His questions show us many of the ways in which we hide to avoid genuine encounter. Sometimes, we hide behind our own fears, or a sense of control, or assumptions, or sometimes just expectations, which turn out to be way too narrow. Listening to the questions of Jesus and I mean really listening, is painful and wonderful, unsettling and illuminating, inconvenient and inspiring, all at the same time. So here is a word of warning. If you want to remain comfortable, do not let Jesus ask you questions. If you take these questions seriously, you will become just like those whom we hear about in the gospel, whose commonplace ways of thinking were overturned. His questions reveal the hidden secrets of people's hearts and reset the cozy encounter they thought they would have with him. The new level of encounter is one that he himself establishes. His questions provoke an examination of conscience and demand a greater openness to his divine mission. No one is on secure ground when Jesus starts asking questions. The author continues, "My greatest hope is that you'll let yourself be startled by the fact that we have a God who questions. He does not need to, but he does. The divine question, the person of Jesus, addresses us directly and asks questions so we can be drawn out of hiding into contact with who he is and what he bears for us. We find each other in him too." It turns out that the project of salvation is not some hostile takeover. It is communion. It apparently matters that we want to be healed, so he asks us if we want it. Likewise, it matters what and whom we seek. So again, he asks. If we find that the questions of Jesus are just what we expected, then we can be sure that we didn't hear him correctly. Our expectations are to his questions what colorblindness is to the rainbow. They delude us into thinking we have grasped all there is. And that analogy runs the other way, too. If we can imagine the rainbow's colors piercing through and healing our blindness so that all of a sudden we do see the whole spectrum, then that is something like the effect that these piercing and illuminating questions might have on us, because that's who Jesus is in all his glory. He is the divine question.